Hi everyone. I should start by saying I am definitely Hannah's ambiguous man. In as much as by saying that, I mean I stand before you truly not as an expert in the subject matter that brings us all here today. I am admittedly 6'2". I am going grey, arguably prematurely. I think so. I deliberately didn't wear my grey suit today, knowing that Jeff would, and mine is more carefully chosen. But I am here for something else that I want to talk about, which I feel very strongly about, and that is I'm a great, I guess, enthusiast about something that I think everyone in this room would be enthusiastic about as I am, which is the ideal of organisational culture, the ideal that an engaged culture is a better one to work in. The great thing about this space, which I'll talk about for a little while, and maybe I'm going to end my talk with some suggestions or tips, is that it matters not whether you approach the idea of the sort of workplace you want to work in simply from the point of view of, I want to work in a place where I can achieve my potential, where I can go home happy, where I love coming into work. I love the people around me, and I think they give me the opportunities that I need and I require to make it an engaging workplace, and so on and so on, which is what turns me on at this age and stage. Or whether it's because you say, listen, none of that means anything to me. I just want this place to be highly profitable. Now, the number of people who say that nowadays, in my experience, is diminishing. That is, pleasingly, more and more people realise there's a clear link between engagement, that is, an engaged workforce, and profitability. But the great thing is, even if you don't believe that, that is, even if you say, I don't really mind if people feel engaged or not, my job is to make profit for shareholders. For those people, I say, listen to what I've got to say, or those in your organisation who talk knowingly about the need and the importance of an engaged workforce, and you'll find that profit if that's what you seek. They go hand in hand. Now, the link between an engaged workforce and this topic, the leadership challenge, Winterman Management, I think to every single person in this room will be clear. If I can put it another way, I doubt if many people in this room would feel comfortable working in a workforce where they do not feel engaged. Is every organisation perfect in this space? It is not. My organisation, Frills, is not, but we're working on it, and I'd like to think that all of us are. Let me talk for a minute about the scorecard. This has already been mentioned by Anna, but the scorecard is really odd, and I'll say why it's odd in a minute, but just read through these figures. Still with 50% of university graduates being female, only 10% of senior executives are senior executives or directors of ASX 200 companies. Will time close the gap? Percentage of women in executive roles has barely changed since 94, and Chief Executive Women comments at this rate was going to take 150 years to close the talent gap. Women currently represent 12% of ASX executive managers, as we saw. I'm going to put on that so-called stupid curve that Anna mentioned before, because I want to focus on that again for a minute. Amazingly, in the last few years, there's been a drop in the number of companies with at least one female board member. There's been no increase in the number of companies with a female CEO since 94. And there's the stupid curve again. Maybe it's the wrong name, and I thank CEW and Deloitte for bringing this to our attention, and Anna for putting it up, but that wasted talent, again going back to my concept of engagement, how appalling. I mean, to have people, whether it's in a law firm or an accounting firm or in any organisation out there, where we're wasting talent of the sort you see on the bottom of that screen, how appalling. What sort of organisations are allowing that to happen? I ask rhetorically, how engaged could an organisation be that allows that to happen? So it's glacial. And what's happened? Well, this is where I think the great contribution of Hannah Pitterman's report or work is worth looking at. I was privileged to be part of the reference group. I put a little bit of time into it, but the great thing was it gave me a chance to identify with it when it came out. And when it did, I got it one Saturday afternoon. I lay on a couch at home and read it. I say that because it's an easy read, some of these works, you know, their reports, they're more difficult. But as you've heard from the address that we've had from Hannah already, this is interesting. It's beyond interesting. It's puzzling. That's why I say, in a sense, I feel ambiguous in this space, in the sense I'm uncertain. How many topics have there been out there where more bright people have thought about this sort of stuff with the glacial results that we're seeing to this day? And what are we going to do about it? Well, on the positive side, in some organisations, public and tertiary sectors, the position is somewhat better. In professional services firms, the position is somewhat better. I'll say more about that in a minute. No one here would doubt the next statistic. Low diversity companies have a far lower investment return than high diversity companies, and that's for the reason we saw on that curve we put out before. Critically, there's never been a higher commitment by organisations to lift the number of women occupying leadership positions. Most CEOs and managing partners have appropriate board-driven KPIs. All good. But look around this room now, and I say, as Jeff did before when he welcomed you, how curious it is that we don't look around this room and see at least as many males as we do females. And I say to the organisations that are represented here today, what a pity it is that we haven't got males feeling as strongly, as passionately as you've made the effort to come here today, to make the effort to come as well. I don't criticise them, but I ask the question again, until we can look around this room in a year or two or three or five or something and see those sort of equal numbers, then I'll always have a question in my mind as to that last dot point. While I feel positive that many organisations are striving and working hard in this space, there's still some way to go. In my own profession, a very substantial percentage of lawyer recruits are women. 64% of the graduate intake in my firm and many others are women. And for those in a firm like mine or in the number of law firms here now listening to this and say, you know, put the culture to one side, what about cost? That's what we estimate it costs through wasted talent. If we lose a senior associate, that's the sort of number we're talking about. It's very, very significant. The way forward. These are just a few thoughts. They're not revolutionary. They're things that I try and apply and I think about a lot, and maybe in your own organisations these will be helpful, or at least some of them might be. The first dot point is there truly commitment in your organisation, or is it just a motherhood statement? Most organisations, in fact I rarely hear of any organisations now that don't have something to say in this space, but can you truly say that the leadership of your organisation feels as passionately about this as you do? Passionately enough to make a real difference. Secondly, I commend the idea of an audit. Put up the figures and talk about it. The figures will be fairly low, perhaps. That's okay. Talk about it. What's causing it? Develop working groups. Get it discussed at executives and other subgroups of the executives, and if you can, on the board itself. And then monitor it. Look for improvement. This tipping point is a really interesting question. There'd be many here who understand the concept of tipping point better than me. But the way I see it is, once your organisation gets to a certain point, I believe, and Anna will correct me if I've got this wrong later, the point is thought to be around the 30-35% point mark, then certain things happen which make it much easier for the advancement of women into leadership positions. Very recently we had an alumni function in my firm in Sydney, and the first female partner of any law firm, any major law firm anyway, by size, was there. And she talked about how extraordinary it seemed in the Sydney legal community that a female had been appointed to a major firm. Nowadays that's less so, and as time goes on, less and less and less so. In other words, the pioneers have paved the way. That's sort of what tipping point's about, but it might be an interesting question for someone to ask one of the experts who'll be on the panel about later on. Something about engagement surveys. Just a show of hands. Hands up those whose organisations actually do an external engagement survey. About half. We've done two. Can I just say I really commend it? And the reason I do in terms of this space is because The engagement survey will throw up questions like this, and the granularity of the answers will give you an enormous hint about where you need to apply your efforts, such as, I feel I'm a valued member of the firm or company. It's one of the questions that will be asked. And if you find that a number of women, a high percentage of women, say, to tell you the truth, I don't, maybe that's a clue to the senior executive team or the board that this is an unacceptable situation and they should do something about it. I say they should be ashamed of themselves if they don't. To have a staff who can say, I don't feel valued where I spend most of my working time, is an awful situation. You cannot feel engaged in that space. People are treated fairly here, regardless of gender, and so on and so on. The granularity of those answers provides the great advantage of an engagement survey, coupled with benchmarking as you go forward, if you do one every year or 18 months or so. A couple more. Think about your KPIs. Is there a mandate for success in your organisation? I said optimistically once in a talk like this in Sydney that I understood that every organisation now was driven by KPIs around the space. There was a queue of people after I spoke to assure me that that was not so in their organisation. I have KPIs all over my performance in this space. There's an accountability, there's a consequence to me if we don't move forward in this space. It's a motivator. We all know how KPIs work. We need more of them in more organisations, I suspect, in this space. Something about vision and values. Vision and values need to be alive in your organisation. Is your strategic plan truly aligned with the need to increase the number of females in leadership roles? If not, why not? What are you going to do about it? The idea of challenging a diverse developmental opportunities is absolutely critical. This sort of gets into that space which Hannah talks about profoundly in her report, which is what's gone wrong, why isn't there more movement in this space? And I suspect it has to do with the fact that there is still a paradigm of success out there which is truly dated. The 24/7 or in a law firm or an accounting firm or something, it's all about chargeable hours and I dare say wearing the grey suit and the 6'2" and all that sort of thing. It is a dated paradigm. That is not the way forward unless you want to have your organisation looking like that wasted talent curve we saw before. Flexibility. Performance reviews. Make sure there's no inbuilt gender bias. Same point before. It's so easy for the person doing the review to run the standard template of success over performance. It's different. Let's be flexible about it. And finally, encourage female profile and profile female role models. Every organisation's got some. Rejoice in them. Get them talking about what they've done publicly, internally, and make them available. Coach and so on. I should say there's one other thing which makes up the 10, invest in family-friendly benefits. Without that, it will simply not be possible to have the levels of engagement and the flexibility that we need to make success in this space. I'm nearing the end. But this idea of celebrating success is something I really believe in. There are, in every organisation here, successes in this space. Maybe they're small steps, but celebrate them and talk about them and rejoice in them. It makes such a difference in terms of moving that culture towards the engaged culture that I talked about before. Let me just say one last thing. I read this address. I wish I'd been there. It was Friday, 13th June, so it's about a month ago. It was an address to the Australian Women Lawyers Conference by the Chief Justice of New Zealand, Dame Sian Elias. Now, I don't know if anyone here was at that, but if anyone would like a copy of the link to the speech, let me know. I'd be delighted to send it to you. It is a profoundly moving personal account of someone who's made steps to achieve greatness in her profession. The journey makes astonishing reading. It was just one of these extraordinary speeches. Last thing, a bit of a plug for something CW have produced. They've done a kit called CEO Kit for attracting and retaining female talent. Many here I know have that or have something similar. It's a really valuable resource and I commend it to you. Thanks very much and I wish you well in your endeavours.